We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
And welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today on a visit to Oxford, city of dreaming spires. And they've got a park and ride as well. During the English Civil War, Oxford became the royalist capital. The first siege of Oxford in 1644 caused food shortages in the city, and the population turned to growing vegetables in the streets. King and his entourage were forced to survive on a diet of radishes, sprouts and beans. And then history repeated itself. During his period here, the King revived a title for his loyal supporter, Charles Villiers, who became the Duke of Buckingham to help ease the terrible Limerick shortage. Towards the end of the war, King Charles actually came to prefer living in Oxford, describing his forced return to London as a right pain in the neck. Later to become famous for Morris Motor Cars, Oxford's William Morris started in business making bicycles at premises in James Street. Morris strove to make high-quality machines and went on to produce the world's first totally silent bicycle, for which he won a Nobel Prize. Oh, you think that's groaning? Wait till the show starts. In July this year, Oxford Railway Station underwent upgrades to track and signalling equipment. This meant that for 2 weeks, GWR and Chiltern Rail services ran 5% of the published timetable, which rail users described as a welcome improvement. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And taking our place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever-delightful Samantha. OK, well, our first round, Worst Sellers, is about unsuccessful books. As we all know, the publishing world is littered with failed books, and perhaps none bigger than the Marquis de Sade's ill-fated The 120 Days of Sodom, pop-up edition. Not all books are assured of success, so teams, I'd like you please to suggest titles of books which would be guaranteed to flop. Barry, can you start?
Little Women.
Tim?
Bridget Jones' Diarrhea.
Jeremy?
Gulliver's Travel Iron.
Graham?
The Tiger Who Came Too Unexpectedly.
Lady Chatterley's Mother.
Cold Comfort Fabric Conditioner.
PPI Long Stocking.
Back Passage to India.
Great Expectorations.
Moby's Dick.
King Solomon's Yours.
The Hatchback of Notre Dame.
Love in the Time of Chlamydia.
There's Wally.
Time for a musical round now, as I ask the teams to sing one song to the tune of another. Hey! Providing piano accompaniment for this round, we have Colin Sell. Hey! Colin is known for his compositions for the church organ, many of which are to be found in the recent publication Hymn Sheet, a critique of Colin's career by a leading Mexican musicologist. OK, well, we'll start with you, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of House of the Rising Sun to the tune of The Sun Has Got His Hat On.
The
there's a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. It's been the ruin of many a boy, and God, I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor, she sewed my new blue jeans. My father was a gambling man down in New Orleans. Now the only the gambler needs is a suitcase and a trunk, and the only time he'll be satisfied is when he is all drunk. Oh, mother, tell your children not to do what I have done. Spend your lives in sin and misery in the house of the Rising Sun. Thank you.
I think you'll all agree it's marvellous to have Graham back with us after an absence of half a year or so, or, as the judge called it, 6 months. Well, you now, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of Hey Little Hen to the tune of Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better.
Hey Little Hen, when... will you lay me an egg for my tea? Hey, little hen, when will you try to supply one for me? Get into your nest, do your little best, get it off your chest. I can do the rest. Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea?
Well, it's your turn now, Jeremy, and I'd like you to sing the words of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of Morning Has Broken.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are all standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life, singing roll or bowl a ball, a penny a pin.
Don't ask for more. The important thing is that Jeremy identifies as a singer. Finally, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood to the tune of The Happy Wanderer.
Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax. Don't do it when you want to come. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. When you want to come, relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. Relax, don't do it when you want to suck it.
Well, the next round is called the Wheel of Chance. On the board are 20 different categories, and I'm going to ask the contestants to spin the big wheel, and wherever the big pointer lands, they must answer a question on that topic. So, Barry, I'm going to ask you to start, so please step up and spin the Wheel of Chance.
Right. Here goes.
Well, your question is on dogs, Barry, and it is, how much is your dog's licence?
Depends if he's got his own television.
No, the right answer is you haven't needed a dog licence since 1987.
I knew that.
Did you? Well, then you score a point. Well done, Barry. Your turn now, Jeremy, to give the Wheel of Chance a hefty spin.
Right, OK.
Oh, you put your shoulder into it there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Still going? Round and round and round it goes. Where it lands, nobody cares. And your topic is deer and antelopes. What do you call a deer with no ears?
No idea.
No, that's a deer with no eyes. The right answer is no ear deer. So close, I'll give you the point. Well done. Graham, your turn to spin the Wheel of Chance.
And I'm raring to go. One, two, three. Yeah!
What? You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Sorry.
Not supposed to go that fast. Look, you can't see the categories for smoke. Colin, bucket of water. No, no, Colin, don't... Colin, don't play it. I want a bucket of water to put the fire out. Chuck it on the wheel. And your topic, Graham, is elephants. OK, elephants. What have you got in your fridge if you find big footprints in the custard?
Is it owls?
No, it's elephants, but you're in the right ballpark, so 1 point, well done.
My turn now, Jack.
Yeah, all right, Tim.
My turn.
Spin the Wheel of Chance, but be careful, don't break it.
Watch this. Yeah!
So... Tim, your question's on the history of the goodies.
Great.
Oh, sorry. That's one more click, and it's quantum electrodynamics. And your question is, what is the propagator formulation of the Klein-Gordon equation which describes the behaviour of a photon's probability amplitude?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, have a guess.
It's not EC squared bracket sigma over XV square bracket over delta P by square root C minus EC to the power of beta, is it?
No, it's not. You're just being silly now, aren't you? If you applied that to the diagonal, you'd end up in nip. It's ridiculous. So after a frankly disappointing end to that round, Tim, we move on to the next round, which is called the symptoms. And it's all about the world of medicine. Now, the world-renowned Oxford School of Medicine was founded by King Henry VIII in 1546 and has enjoyed centuries of royal patronage ever since. Little surprise, then, that in 1953, its doctors spearheaded the campaign to combat the spread of coronation chickenpox. We'll start with you, Barry and Graham. You're suffering from an unusual medical condition and have just been called for your appointment with Doctors Tim and Jeremy. You must outline your symptoms to them and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. Now, the identity of your complaint is being displayed to our theatre audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Barry and Graham think they're antiques on Flogget. Barry and Graham... think they're antiques on Flogget.
Right, Barry and Graham, Doctors Tim and Jeremy are ready to see you now. Can you please start outlining your complaint?
Do sit down.
Thank you.
What seems to be the trouble?
I'm nervous. We're both very nervous.
Well, it's the first time in front of a big crowd.
It is, isn't it? And what it comes down to is a matter of self-esteem, I suppose. It's so difficult to estimate your own self-worth.
Now we're exposed to all this hullabaloo.
Yes.
I've been kept in the dark. Yes. Mark at me spouting off.
No, but you're saying you've got a handle on it now, haven't you? As long as they don't see your crack. But that Christina, she took a shine to you, didn't she?
She's a lovely girl.
She is, isn't she? Mind you, at first she thought you were a little potty.
She was impressed when she saw Clarice Clifford signed her name on my bottom.
Yes. I just hope they don't find out I had a touch of the worms.
But look at you now, polished appearance.
Maybe I'm not as popular as I used to be.
Well, I wouldn't say that. That Philip Serrell couldn't keep his hands off you.
Well, it's true. Strange, though. He normally prefers a bit of rough.
Had a good rummage round in your drawers.
Yes, he did, yes. Can you help us?
No.
No.
Something to do with furniture, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's pottery.
Partly.
Were you a commode?
Pot.
Something to do with going to the lavatory. Telephone kiosk.
No, you've got furniture and pottery, and that was the two things, but what connected them?
Antique shop.
Antiques
Roadshow. You're getting there.
Oh, bargain hunt.
Antiques Roadshow.
No.
Come on. Flog it.
Yes.
And you certainly did. Today.
Okay, it's your turn to be the patients, Tim and Jeremy, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board, while here again is a mystery voice for listeners at home.
Tim and Jeremy are dead. Tim and Jeremy are dead.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello. Come in.
Thank you very much.
What seems to be the problem, specifically?
Well, I've been very stiff recently.
I've got no get up and go.
No, not at all, and lost a lot of weight as well. I suppose I feel emotionally, like, trapped quite a lot of the time, like I'm boxed in and everything's on top of me.
Got any holidays planned?
Yeah.
Shame.
One quite nice thing, though. Barry Cryer was on the news saying nice things about me earlier.
Brexit doesn't mean so much now, does it?
You seem to have left it a bit late coming to see us.
Yes. I think we're both pretty sure about what's the matter with you.
We are indeed.
Time's up.
What do you think?
That's what we were going to say. We think you're both dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, the next game is all about the problems we face on a daily basis in the modern world. For example, I've just been scammed by a Nigerian prince. Quite frankly, his version of Purple Rain was pitiful. Since we're in the university town of Oxford, in this round, I'll supply the answers to a number of everyday problems posed by students, and the team's task is to guess what the original questions might have been, OK? So this first one's for you, Tim. Here's the question, what's the answer? Cover with cling film before serving.
How do I keep my tennis balls fresh?
Actually, the question is there a good way to avoid washing up plates at mealtimes? Barry, here's the answer. Can you guess what the question is? You can buy inflatable ones.
What should I do if I'm desperate to meet Donald Trump?
Actually, during long lectures, I'm finding the wooden bench of the lecture hall uncomfortable, but I'm finding it too difficult to carry a large cushion with me. What would you advise? God, it must be easier to get into Oxford these days. Graham, this one's for you. Medium fries with a Big Mac or chicken sandwich?
When I have my degree and get a job, what will I have to offer?
It's actually what size fries do McDonald's offer free to students and what do we have to order to get them? 40% of the audience leave. Finally, Jeremy, what about this one? Tape drying sheets to a fan.
How do you recycle toilet paper?
Is there a good way to remove unpleasant washing smells from my bedsit? The perfumed tumble drying sheets and fan will soon have your bedsit smelling like a flower garden. Here are some for any of you to have a go at. What about this one? Always have a flat pear in your bag.
How can I challenge my friend's square orange?
Flat pear. No, we got it. We did get it. How can I stop getting blisters from my heeled shoes on a night out? How about this one? A quick tumble with a damp tea towel.
What is the best sex a student can have?
Tati, is there a good way to remove the creases from my shirt when I don't own an iron? Here's another answer. What's the question? Jump up and down for 2 minutes.
How can I gauge 2 minutes?
Is there a good way to cure a hangover? It apparently increases lymph flow up to 15 to 30 times and is more effective than regular exercise in doing that. Here's the answer. What is the question again? They are 50% more likely to stick if you do.
Why should I lick my bogeys before flicking them at girls?
Actually, what use is speaking the facts out loud when I'm revising for an exam? And here's another one. Use some clip binders to hold them in place.
How do you train hamsters to use their wheel?
It's actually, how can I stop my beers from rolling around in the fridge? Here's another one. Try to force a laugh and avoid crying.
How should I behave in the audience of quote-unquote?
Is there an effective way to alleviate the stress of exams when I'm beginning to feel overwhelmed by the tension? Here's another answer. Grip tightly with your fingers and slide it down until the skin separates from it.
What should I do with this?
Is there a good way to quickly remove the skin from an avocado, mango or kiwi? And finally, use an old chapstick.
How do you obtain a sperm donation if no young chaps are available?
Question was, is there a good way to conceal a couple of £10 notes about my person without the worry that they'll be stolen? An empty chapstick container is a good way because no thief will ever dream of running off with your chapstick. Okay. I'm frankly as speechless as you are. This next round takes a look at the correspondence of the great figures from history. Only recently, the British Library bought the original manuscript of Boris Pasternak's epic novel about Russian hotel price comparison sites, Dr. Trivago. The teams will now take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures with two players providing one word each at a time. So Graham and Barry, like you to start by composing a letter from the Oxford Martyrs, Bishops Latimer and Ridley, to Queen Bloody Mary, who sentenced them to burn at a stake. And then Tim and Jeremy will come up with a reply and so on. So off you go, please, Graham and Barry.
We
would
like
to
ask
what
you
are
intending
to
do
with
these.
Yes.
These.
Because
we
have
no
idea
what
to
do
with
these
apart
from
possibly
using
them
as
fuel.
So
bloody
what?
We
think
that
you
are
very,
very,
very
cruel
to
us.
And
so,
look
here.
We
are
wondering
if
you
have
any
idea
of
how
to
put
this
fire
out.
The end.
Dear
boys,
what
a
silly
letter
you
have
written
to
us.
Now,
and
then,
we
burn
people
like
you
because
you
are
very
flammable.
Which
is
very
ideal
for
burning.
And
also,
we
like
to
toast
you
with
this
marshmallow
and
some
little
sausages.
Sausages. And
furthermore,
we
believe
that
you
don't
like
to
pray
for
forgiveness.
However,
if
you
repent,
then
we
will
burn
you
anyway.
Lots
of
love
from
bloody
hell.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of Grammarian's Songbook. Samantha recently paid a rewarding visit to some local lexicographer friends, helping them to try to think up new additions to the Oxford English Dictionary. She says the first took a while to come, but before long they clocked up an impressive 12 new entries in half an hour. So, teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest song titles likely to be popular with grammar and punctuation pedants. Graham, you can start.
The windmill in old ampersand.
Barry.
Comma, 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 chameleon.
Tim.
Hello, is it I for whom you are looking?
Jeremy.
I saw Mama kissing subordinate clause.
Hark the herald angel, singular.
Gordon is an oxyboron.
The Cornish plural dance.
Infinitive, I had a hammer. Get with me, people!
Old MacDonald had a farm, I-E-I-E-O.
Oblique D, oblique da.
See you later, conjugator.
Give parentheses a chance.
Comma, Nileen.
You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a split infinitive.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the tinned tuner of time avoids the Sainsbury's self-checkout of eternity and the suspicious store detective of destiny is outwitted by the purloining pensioner of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Oxford, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.